Well, good morning, everybody. I hope that it's a beautiful day. I hope you have thanked God for your blessings this morning. I hope you're thankful to be in His house, and because it's so easy to take life, to take being in church, to take these things for granted. And I hope that we don't. If you're a guest here this morning, or you've been busy over the summer like we all are, we are in week 7 of a series entitled Lessons from the Old Testament. And basically, we're looking at lives randomly from people that, in the Old Testament, that lived usually 3,000-4,000 years ago, whose lives teach us lessons that are very relevant to your life and to my life today. We don't want to do that thing where they lived forever ago. They were Bible people. They were real people. They lived, and their lives teach us a lot. We have so far talked about Elijah and Joshua and Joseph and David and Eli. And last week, remember, we talked about Solomon, King Solomon, who wrote Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Solomon, who had 700 wives and therefore 700 mother-in-laws. That was Solomon. But also we learned from Solomon wisdom. We talked about last week, leaning not on our own understanding, but trusting God in every area of our life and letting that show in our lives. Today we're going to talk about Abraham. And we kind of could have started with Abraham maybe, but again, we're not doing this chronologically. But Abraham, who lived, again, about 2000 BC, so about 4,000 years ago, and Abraham's life really pointed to Jesus. That's the lesson. That's what all of creation, that's what everything does, and that's what our lives as believers should do, is point to Jesus. Amen? Amen? To point others to Him, to show that kind of love, to show that kind of mercy and compassion and wisdom and understanding. So Abraham, lived about 2000 BC. He was a direct descendant. His father was Terah, who was a direct descendant of Noah. And so if you fast forward, I think it was about 10 generations, we get to Abraham, who was married to Sarah. And the big thing we need to remember from Sarah's life is that she was barren. She couldn't have kids. And you'll need to keep that in mind, and we'll begin our lesson there. I encourage you again today, as always, to take notes. Because if you're like me, an hour from now, it's gone. And so it's so great in your bulletin or anywhere to take notes or use your smartphone, whatever it is, because we have some great lessons today that we need to learn from Abraham's life. And we're just going to start with one. Our first lesson we learned from Abraham is that you and I here today, whether you're seeking, do I want to become a Christian, whether you are, you have been forever, we need to understand there's times when God calls us to be willing to change and leave the past behind to begin a new season of life. That happens to me. Areas I'm struggling with, relationships, things, that just happens. We must be willing to begin a new chapter when God calls. We learn that from Abraham. If you have your Bibles, go to Genesis chapter 12. There should be Bibles around you if you have an app, whatever. If you want me to read to you like Mr. Rogers, that's fine, I will. But I encourage you to open your Bible. Genesis chapter 12, first book of the Bible. If you're not sure where it is, it's right towards the very beginning. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, it said, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran." 75 years old. That is pretty old, right? Now we're going to be careful. How many of you here, if you're over 75, well, you probably can't stand. Raise your hand if you're over 75. I got the women last week, so today I'm just kidding. Nobody leave, it's okay. But, okay, so a few of you are over 75, and so you've been blessed with a long life. You've lived some life. And I think sometimes seasons of life, young, old, married, single, we go through things and we think that because of what we've been through, going through the season of life, that it's not our time to maybe serve or be used by God. And nothing could be further from the truth. We just have to be willing. Because God's always calling us. He's always calling you. He's always calling me. He's always wanting to use us to show people His love, to lead people to Him, to be the church. And it's so exciting that He does that. And for some today, maybe it's a sinful relationship, or it's a sin, or you need to forgive someone or step forward in faith and be obedient. There's all kinds of things. But we're so good at humans, and I am too, at making excuses. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm scared. I don't want to leave. I don't want to go. I don't want to stay. God calls Abraham. He's like, "Hey, I'm going to uproot you here. Completely turn your life upside down, but guess what? If you'll just trust me, I'm going to make good from it. and that good's going to be way bigger than you. Don't you want your life to be bigger than you? Doesn't God put that in us? And when we follow Him and are obedient to Him, that's what happens if we'll just be faithful. We have to be willing to trust God and change, leave the past behind, begin a new chapter when He calls us to that. If we're faithful, He will do that. The best is yet to come in every life that's in this sanctuary here this morning if we'll just listen to God's call and be obedient and faithful to Him. Amen to that. So let's read on verses 5 through 8. It says, then Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and all the people who they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. They passed through the land called Shechem, and the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved on from there to the mountains east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west of Ai on the east. And he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. You guys notice two things that Abram did in those verses. He did twice, was he built an altar to the Lord. And we can learn a lesson from that, that even in the midst of life and all the busyness and changing seasons and stuff and fear and doubt, we've got to be consistent as believers in calling on the name of the Lord, in spending time with the Lord, in praying, in being in church, in worshiping Him, in building an altar. Now, we don't actually build an altar. We know that Jesus has bridged the gap. We don't have to do that, but we do have to spend time with the Lord. We have to spend time with His people. We have to be purposeful in making that happen. A lot was going on in Abraham's life here, but he still made time to go to church, to be with the Lord, to build an altar, to worship, to reverence God. He still made the time for that because he realized how important it was. And God's promises, guys, are just as applicable to you and I today as they were to Abraham. Because the Bible says what in Galatians? There's neither Jew, Greek, slave, free, none of this stuff. We're all one in Christ Jesus. All who are believers in Christ, whether you're Methodist or Catholic or Baptist or church, we're the body of Christ. We are family. We who belong to Jesus. And it says if we are Christ, then we are what? Does it say in Galatians? Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. All the promises of God in our life. And that's just a beautiful thing. But we have to do as Abraham did. We have to be faithful to God. We have to be obedient. We have to, in the midst of this life, we have to remember who our Lord is and what our lives are about and who we should point to. And sometimes when that happens, God just calls us to make changes. And I see so many times in believers' life, that's what keeps them from God's goodness. It keeps them from peace and joy and fullness and abundance is we're unwilling to change. We're unwilling to trust God. And sometimes that means giving something up, which is a little foreshadowing for our sixth and final lesson today, if you know Abraham's story real well. Our second lesson today, which goes along the lines here from Abraham's life as well, we talked about it with Joseph. Sometimes to our feeble human brains and the 10-12% we use, God doesn't make a lot of sense. Because we, especially men, I think, really want to figure everything out. I need to know and I want to fix it. And here's why does this fit here? God doesn't have to make sense. We just have to trust Him because He's faithful. He's faithful and your faithfulness to Him matters. You can say, why do I matter that much? I'm just one person. You're one made in God's image. You're one that Christ died for. You're one that God has a great plan for, and hopefully you're living in it. But if not, He wants you to be. Go forward with me two chapters to chapter 15. Let's continue with Abraham. It says, after these things, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. I just got to stop right there for 1 second. I want to remind you that, guys, in this life, Jesus is our reward. He is enough. He is Alpha, Omega, beginning, end, coming back, the eternal life, the heaven that we're promised is enough. This world is not your home. Don't get so caught up in it. He is our reward and He's enough. And when you know Him, you know He's enough. All these other things will be added. Just seek Him. Seek His kingdom. Seek His righteousness. And God's telling Abraham right here, I'm your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir, Abram saying to God. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body will be. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. God promises him offspring that are more numerous than the stars. Now remember, he's 75 and his wife is barren and infertile. So this couldn't have made any sense to him whatsoever. But he believed and trusted God. And I see so much these days where stuff maybe doesn't make sense in our life and it happens, or you know, we want to argue with the Bible. Sometimes I see people do that, and we can't do that. God is God. It's His universe, His rules, and we just have to trust Him. How often are we unfaithful? How often are we impatient in obeying God? We just want. We want it now. It's trained. We all have smartphones and iPads and drive-thrus, and we want everything right now. We've got to be patient and trust God. And that patience develops when we unplug and when we spend time with the Lord and His people. Trust me. We, over the last couple of days, we have done what we do as the Mobley family. We will do kind of a tech-free. We'll take 2 or 3 days and nobody gets their stuff. Except me, because I have to check it in case there's like an emergency. No, seriously. Don't think the kids don't point that out. But let me tell you, I kid you not, parents, listen to this, and if there's teenagers in here, you really are going to hate me. Within like 24 hours, my kids' attitudes are way better. They're way more just less jumpy. They get along better. They're way more relaxed. Sorry, teenagers, but it's true. But we're so impatient these days. We're so unfaithful at times when we don't just want to trust God as we know that we should. We do that thing with God's Word. I know the Bible says this, but... And you don't understand? No, I don't, but God does. He made you. He knows everything about you and your heart, and you have to trust Him. Don't twist His Word to fit your lifestyle. Don't abuse grace. Well, we're free. We're grace, so I'm just going to sin. Shall we continue in sin? No. No. What if we'd just be faithful? What if you'd understand how much your life and your relationship with Jesus and how you live and love and serve, how much that truly does matter to the Lord, to the church, for your own good, for the good of your offspring? What if Abraham had said, no, God, I'm 75 and Sarah's barren, so this doesn't make any sense? That would have been bad. And we'll see that as well in a moment. What does Hebrews say in chapter 11, verses 8 through 12? Reminds us. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. So here he's called away from his home. Give up your lifestyle. Give up your house. Give up your job. Give all this up. You're going to go here and you guys are going to have a baby, even though you're kind of settled here and you're 75 and she's barren. But Abraham just kind of kept trusting God. It says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It's like we're waiting for heaven. We're waiting for him to come back. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive a child, because she had judged him faithful who'd promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Because God is faithful. Because God is faithful. And that leads us to our next and our third lesson for today, which is this. Because we know they've trusted God. We know that God is faithful. But we also know, and here's why I want to bring it back to, oh, they were in the Bible. It's like Abraham and Sarah, they were human. They were just like you and I, doubts and struggles and insecurities and whatever. And we're going to see that come into the story right here now as well. And our third lesson from today that we're going to see from this is that compromise and willful sin are a big deal. So here we go. Sure, none of us are perfect and we struggle. And you probably got stuff people know about. You may have stuff that you're struggling with. Nobody does, but he does. And there's a difference in struggle. There's a difference in fighting against sin. There's a difference in denying your flesh. There's a difference in surrendering your hearts and dying daily to what, unfortunately, we see so much, which are just willful and consistent sin by people who call themselves Christians. And compromise and willful sin are a big deal. We're going to see that in the story right here. And I know there's some sitting here this morning, right? You've shut it off. I don't like to preach about sin. I don't like to talk about sin. Sin is ugly. Sin is a destroyer, but it's a big deal. Sometimes we think it's just my sin, it's my business, it's my life. No, it affects everybody. And it's a big deal. And this is, guys, this is a message of grace, I promise, but this is true. Remember how God had promised Abraham and Sarah that child? But just like us, they're human, they were impatient, and had a sinful nature. Chapter 16, verses 1 through 2. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children." See, God can't be trusted. See, this hasn't happened yet. See, Abraham, I don't understand this. I'm paraphrasing. So she said to Abram, "See now, this is not happening. Please go into my maid, and perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarah. He listened to the woman. Woman's father. It's not like Adam and Eve. There's the woman convincing the man to sin. Kidding. Just trying to make sure everybody's we're still here. Oh, it's been a rough... Oh, man. I love you, ladies. I do. God bless you. But that's, you know, that's what happens. And he could have just said, "No, I trust God." But Abraham made a choice and said, "Okay." So let's fast forward in the story here. Verses 3 through 6. And I was just joking again, by the way. Then Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, so he went into her, and she conceived. And when Sarah saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. That is sin. Sin always seems like a good idea until afterwards. Oh, amen. It seems good at the time. It seems harmless. It seems okay until afterwards. Oh. And she became despised in her eyes. Then Sarah said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace. And when she saw that she conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." So Abram said to Sarah, "Fine, you do with her what you want." And Sarah sent her away. Because sin just messes stuff up. Again, not that we're perfect or never sin, but when we choose, "I just choose sin," that's going to be a problem. And because of this unfaithfulness right here, we have Islam. If you don't know that, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough political correctness. I don't have enough. Come see one of your pastors. Because of this unfaithfulness willfully, we have ISIS in the world. Ishmael was an ancestor of Muhammad. Listen to what the Lord says in verses 11 and 12. "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him." When we willfully sin and disobey God, it tends to be a big deal. Now let's go to our fourth lesson and get things back towards something a little more positive. Is that God is always faithful, even when sometimes we're not, and His timing is always perfect. We're just impatient. Remember the promise of a son? How many of you can look back at stuff in your life and say, "I wish I'd have been more patient"? How many of you get the big credit card bill every month and say, "I wish I'd have been more impatient"? I didn't really need that. I didn't really need to do that. How many of you can look? Can I look at decisions in my life and say, "I just wish I'd have been more patient and done things God's way"? But it's never too late for that. You've got such great hope this morning in Jesus Christ, in His grace, in His restoration. So you remember the promise of a son? God said to Abraham and Sarah, "I'm going to give you a son." Go to verse 1 in chapter 18. "Now the Lord appeared to Abraham by a tree," and I'll paraphrase a little bit in the essence of time. "And Abraham said, 'My Lord, if I've now,'" and so basically what happened was he lifted his eyes and there were three men standing there. "And Abraham said, 'If I have found favor in your sight, don't pass by, but I need some water and maybe some bread and need some rest.' And so Abraham said, 'I'm going to go and make this.' And they said, 'Do that.' So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, 'Quickly, make me three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes.' And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, and gave it to the young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter, milk, and the calf which was prepared, and then they ate. Then they said to Abraham, 'Where is Sarah, your wife?' And he said, 'Here in the tent.' And he said, 'I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son.' Sarah was listening to the tent by the door, which was behind them. like, what are these guys doing here? You know, the wife, she's like listening, kind of eavesdropping, which you can understand that. She's like, what's going on out there? Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I didn't laugh. And Abraham said, yeah, you did. There's a lesson there about if we sin and fall short, just repent, confess it, be forgiven, and move on. Deal with it. Deal with it. With God, all things are possible. Nothing's too hard for God. Nothing in your life right now, no way you've messed up, no sin, nothing that no situation, be it health, finances, whatever, we just have to trust God's will. His answer is not always going to maybe look like we think, but He's faithful, and His timing is perfect when we trust Him. And you can't do anything about yesterday, guys, but I want to, you know, let's make this clear. You right now, you have a choice to make, and every day we have a choice to make of life or death, blessings or cursing. And so often, again, we miss blessings because we consistently choose the wrong thing. You have a choice and a chance today to make that right if it needs to be in your life, because God is faithful and His timing is always perfect and He can be trusted. Even though they were unfaithful, He still is a God of mercy and grace. He's a God of mercy and grace in your life, sending His only Son to die for you. So why do we reject that so often? We learn in hindsight in Abraham's life here that God is right. His descendants, you and I, are more numerous than the stars in the sky because God's faithful. But in hindsight, sometimes we don't step and look at our own lives. And today, look at your life and just how you're living. If tomorrow were your funeral, what do you wish you'd have changed? What is it not right now too late to change? What sin or disobedience are you just willfully choosing that by the grace of God you've got to get rid of? What is it? What about your priorities? Husbands, wives, mothers, fathers. You tell your spouse you love them. Are you teaching your children Jesus? Bringing them to church is great in one thing, but are you really discipling them? You get one chance to do that. What are your priorities? It's not too late today to change if you need to, because God's faithful. Fast forward to chapter 21, verses 1 through 3. Here they were. God had promised them so much. They trusted Him, but then they slipped and fell. They messed up. She brought her maidservant in. And so, see, even the people in the Bible struggled with trusting God, struggled with sin. But we see that when we don't, God blesses that because He's faithful. Verse 21 through 3, chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah, we're fast forwarding a little bit, as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had spoken, because God is faithful, God cannot be unfaithful, God cannot lie. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of the son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. God's faithful. And that's our fifth lesson from Abraham, about God's goodness and God's faithfulness and the fact that God sent His Son Jesus to live and die and set us free to live. And I think sometimes as Christians, we don't live in the freedom and the incredible, amazing grace that we ought to. I think we ought to be the most joyful, wonderful. Look at God's promises to Abraham. He's faithful. God's promises to you are faithful. That all things will work together for good, that you will have eternal life, that you can't imagine what heaven's going to be like. So why do we walk around life mopey so often? God's faithful. We're free in Christ Jesus and ought to be living like it. Where's our joy? Turn to Galatians chapter 4. What does the Bible say about living and freedom in Christ and as relating to Abraham? Galatians 4, Verse 21, it says, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it's written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, Hagar, the other by a free woman, Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. For these are two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now and is in bondage with her children and we don't have time to go in real deep, but the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all, for it's written, "Rejoice, O barren, you who don't bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband." Let me interject, because God is faithful, and we should be rejoicing with our lives that we who were dead have been made alive in Christ Jesus. And if you haven't today, you can be. He can forgive you. He can set you free. He can give you peace. He can heal your relationship. He can heal your body. He can do anything. Nothing's impossible with God. We learn that in this story. "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise, but as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of bond, but of the free." Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus our Lord, there it is. And you can be free today. If you're not, praise God. If you'll just do this one thing, which is our final lesson. Can you just let Him be Lord of your life? God desires above all else, even this free gift of salvation, this free gift of grace, this free gift of forgiveness. The one thing God really wants is our obedience. And the enemy wants us to twist that. Remember our Twisted series? He wants that twisted so bad, what that means. It's just our heart. Not that we're perfect, not that we won't ever make a mistake, but He wants our daily death to self, the obedience to love God and love people. And we need to get off a lot of the other stuff and just understand He wants our obedience and He rewards it. What is it today that maybe you need to give up that you're holding on to? Because I promise you it's not worth it. You can trust God just like Abraham did. In our final lesson from this morning in chapter 22, starting at verse 1. "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the monuments of which I shall tell you.'" There is nothing in your life or my life, nothing in the Word of God that says, "Hey, this is wrong, don't do this. Hey, this is right, do this. Hey, forgive this person. Hey, just trust me." He'll never ask anything like He asked Abraham to do. The most precious thing in his life, his only son, which again points us to Jesus 2,000 years later, and He said, "Give him up." What does Abraham say? It says, "He rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took some young man with him and Isaac his son, and he took wood. And on the third day he lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off, and Abraham said to the young man, 'Stay here, and I will go up yonder and worship, and we'll come back to you.' So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son." Any of you have kids? I mean, it's just hard to read. "And he put it on him, and he went, and he said, 'Abraham said, my father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' And he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?'" Isaac's kind of starting to figure out something's going on here. "And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide. He'll provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound up Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called from heaven and said, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God. You have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took it and sacrificed it. And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide.' And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and you have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven. In your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice.'" So often we want God to bless and provide and guide and be glorified, and we're not willing to obey Him. If we'll make Him and you'll make Him the Lord of your life, He'll reward that. He rewards and blesses obedience, and as His children, how that ought to be our heart. What's the most precious thing in your life? If you have kids, it's them, I hope. Would you be willing to give them up? Are you willing to think today that God Himself gave up Jesus, His only Son, for you and for me? And some of us have stuff in our life today that we're holding on to so tight. A relationship, a situation, something we know it's wrong. We're not willing to give it up. What if you would? What if you wouldn't have fear? What if you'd say, Lord, I give it to you right now. I'm done with it. Forgive me. I need your help. I need to do better. I need to be forgiven. I want to be obedient to you so I can walk in this great life that you have promised me. Maybe your life's just a mess this morning. It's sin, or it's unforgiveness, or it's something, and you're just tired of it. Are you willing to let it go and trust God? There's a lot of stuff in my life. My life, I'm blessed. God is so good. But let me tell you, I went through seasons, and especially as a new believer, I had to blindly, by faith, give some stuff up. I still do today. There's times where stuff happens, and I've got to say, I trust you, Lord. You handle it. I don't need to say it. I don't need to do it. I need to trust you. I don't need to get revenge. I don't need to harbor unforgiveness or bitterness. I need to trust you. And guys, you're here this morning. You've called on the name of the Lord. And you're a saved, baptized believer. And you've got a situations in your life where you're consistently sinning or living in sin or not forgiving someone or being willfully disobedient. You have got to let it go for your own good. Because He's faithful. If you're willing to leave the past behind, to start a new season, look what He'll do. Look what Abraham did. And now we're here, aren't we? As the stars in the sky. And He wants that for your life, if you'll trust Him. Because as the song we're about to sing says, it's only in His will that we're free. I've lived every other kind of life there is. And the only freedom and joy and peace and purpose and goodness and incredible life, even in the midst of this fallen world, is in Jesus Christ. He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life, period. And if you know you're not right with Him, would you stand this morning and we're going to pray. And I will invite you as we stand and pray together, as we sing. If you want to come to the front, I'll pray with you. Pastor Bill will pray with you. Or if you want to see us, let's bow our heads. If you want to see us afterwards, come seek us out so we can have prayer together. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you this morning, and we're so thankful for your word and how it points to you and the fact that you love us and you forgive us and there's grace for us. But we've got to be willing to trust you. We've got to be willing to trust you to the point of complete surrender, of death to ourselves, of anything in our life that needs to go. Because, Lord, so often I believe you want to move in your people's lives, but we don't trust you enough. We're not obedient enough. We're not humble enough. We're not broken enough. But when we are, you take over and you guide and you bless and you're so faithful. Lord, would you work on our hearts now as we sing to you in Jesus' name. Amen.